Okay. Well, it is really, really good to be back here. I believe it was 9 years, almost 10 years ago when I left. But coming back here, even though it's a new building, seeing some old faces, seeing a lot of people growing up, it's seeing the nice Vancouver sunshine, which is uncommon, I think, at this time of year, is really good. So, yeah, it's wonderful to be back. I am so happy that Pastor Keith is now leading this congregation. As he said, I've known him for a number of years back. I knew you in Calgary, right? Or even before then? Or long, many, many years. So many years, as I say. So it's good to see that he's now pastoring this church. It's been wonderful the last couple of days. I've been here representing CIM, Chinese International Missions, the organization that I work for, and I've been sharing about our ministry in Africa and what we do there and how people can get involved. And, you know, we have a display, a table back in the back there. You can grab a pamphlet to learn a little bit more about who we are and what we do. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletters that we email out every month. Today, though, I want to come at it at a little bit different angle to look at missions from a more encompassing sort of a scenario, because all of us are missionaries. All of us are called to something to do, and we need to pass on what we know is fact to others. So why don't we pray, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you indeed are awesome and amazing, and we love you very, very much. And Father God, we pray that you speak to us now, and that we are attentive, and we listen to what you need to say. Pray all these things, most precious name, amen. If someone were to come up to you and ask, "Are you wise?" how would you respond? Now, most people would not want to say that they are stupid, and they probably don't want to say that they are smart because they don't want to sound conceited. But what about wisdom? If someone were to ask, "Are you wise?" how would you answer? I mean, what is wisdom anyways? Now, Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, defines wisdom as having gained knowledge, understanding, experience, discretion, and intuitive understanding, along with a capacity to apply these qualities well. Wisdom is knowledge, but it is also understanding what to do with that knowledge, and knowing what knowledge is the truth. Now, in today's world, we are bombarded with knowledge. Information comes at us in every direction, and with advancing technology, we'll only receive more and more information. And with all the information that we have, we should be smart people. We know a lot of things, and for the things we don't, we can find out in a matter of seconds on the internet, like even on the phone right now. But what do? Without information, how do we process it? How do we apply it? How wise are we? And if someone were to ask me that question, even though I want to say that I am wise, I would probably have to say that I'm not that wise. Because when I look at my life, I see all the mistakes that I've made, even when I have all the information. I look at all the stupid things that I've done, even when I should have known better. Definitely unwise. And I know that there are others, too, that think I'm unwise, because one day I walked in my office in Calgary, this was about 5 years ago, and I saw on my wall these drawings with these sayings. It's entitled Words of Wisdom. I don't know if you could see that, but someone had put it on my wall when I wasn't around. Words of Wisdom, they're just one-liners, but they were very helpful. Some of these one-liners included, let me just read a couple to you. Don't put bananas in the fridge, all right? Fish is a good source of omega-3. Don't take candies from strangers, but lollipops for me are okay. This person used to give me lollipops. Fruit makes you strong. Eat lots of it. My favorite saying, though, was this one. Just listen to it. There's a lot of insight in this one. The person who takes the second last piece of dim sum is not a good guy. Just think about that. It's really wise. The person who takes the second last piece of dim sum is not a good guy. Really a wise saying. Now, unfortunately for me, even though I now know that saying, whenever I go for dim sum, and I went yesterday for dim sum, I'm usually the guy who takes the second last piece and also the last piece. And see how unwise I am? Definitely unwise. But this morning, as we continue our missions conference, I also want to give some words of wisdom. But it's not about bananas, candies, or dim sum. It is something, if taken, will have eternal significance. It is something that I'm very passionate about, and is once again something that's so dear to me that if I don't share it, then I'm not doing my job. It is about missions, and something that I hope all of us will be doing, whether it is in our workplace, within our own family, on our school campuses, overseas, or wherever God has placed you, and is based on a famous passage that Paul wrote found in Romans chapter 10. It is not anything new. I'm sure most of you have heard this passage before and have even studied it, but I want to hammer it home one more time by offering some what I call wisdom one-liners. If you follow it, it will change your life, and you will be very wise doing it. And if you have your Bibles, or if you have the Bible on your phone, please turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 15. And I'm just going to read that passage to you. So Romans 10, 8 to 15. This is what it says. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It is great to read God's word. So here are the wisdom one-liners. Number one, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Number two, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, both of these sayings are from verse 9. And most of us, if we have that personal relationship with the Lord, we do not have an issue with these two sayings. If you do not have a personal relationship with Christ and want to learn more about what that means and how to do, please don't hesitate to talk to either myself or Pastor Keith or one of the other leaders of your church. Overall, most followers of Christ do not have a problem with these two words of wisdom. However, here is the third saying from verse 15. Bring the good news to others. In other words, pass it on. Many Christians I have found are what we would call closet Christians. We are happy that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We enjoy his blessings. We have confessed our sins and have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord in our life. And every Easter we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins and he was resurrected 3 days later. We have no problems with these sayings. But that third piece of wisdom advice, the one that tells us to pass what we already have on to others, some of us have a problem with that. We're happy with what we've got, but we don't want to impose our beliefs on our coworkers or our schoolmates or even with our own family members. Man, we don't want to step on anyone's toes or be politically incorrect. We don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. And I agree that we have to be very tactful depending on the circumstance in sharing the gospel.
but it still needs to be done. And some of the last words of Jesus Christ as recorded in Matthew 28 was, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's called the Great Commission. And since that time, people have been doing just that. Peter brought it to Jerusalem. Paul brought it to various parts of Asia Minor and to the Middle East. David Livingston brought it to Africa. Hudson Taylor brought it to China. And if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, someone brought it to you too. And the reason why I go to Africa is because of this word, a wisdom. It is to pass on what I know for a fact to be true for eternal salvation. And now, it's our turn to pass it on. For not only does it say in Romans 10 that those who call upon the Lord will be saved, but in verse 15, it states, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now, feet usually is not the body part that we would consider beautiful. Most people, when they talk about beautiful body parts, would say face, perhaps legs. But rarely will people say feet. Feet is usually one of the last body parts that someone will think of. But when used right, feet can be more valuable than gold, diamonds, or oil. When the Apostle Paul first wrote Romans, the only way that news traveled were by the feet of messengers. They did not get information at breakneck speed like we do. They didn't have radio. They didn't have TV. They didn't have any sort of telephone, whether it's landline or cell. In other words, they could not text one another. They had no internet, which means they couldn't tweet or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. They didn't have anything, not even newspapers. The only way that important news traveled was by messengers. They were a crucial link in the communication process. And the best news in the world is of no value if no one delivers it. And notice how the verse uses the term good news. When we think of the term news today, most people will think of bad news. And that is because when we turn on the newscast and watch it on TV or just read about it, most of the news that we see is depressing. War, terrorism, murder, rape, abduction, floods, and so on. Just look at what's happening in the news today. You hear about Ebola. You hear about ISIS. Even here in Vancouver yesterday, you hear about the shooting at 41st and Knight. There was accidents yesterday that took lives. People think of bad news when they hear news. It's not good. Rarely does good news make it to the airwaves. So the picture that newscasts paint is that people are bad. It creates fear and it takes away hope in people. But this is not the type of news that this passage is talking about. The news this passage is talking about is found in verse 8 and following, which says, "The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we're proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now remember earlier, I gave you the three words of wisdom. They're still up there. Well, those are the first two. That is the good news. And the way this good news back then was brought to people was by messengers. People who believed the news. People who were transformed by the news. Man, they passed it on. Which is the third word of wisdom. And today, it should be the same. This good news still needs to be conveyed by those whose lives have been transformed because of the gospel message. And as I said earlier, many Christians, they emphasize the importance of believing in the risen Lord without stressing the necessity of sharing Christ through their words or their lives. Believing in the heart should always lead to profession with the mouth and in our lives. Christian faith, contrary to what some people believe, should never be a private matter. Today, if with that personal relationship with Jesus, then we become the messengers. We can use our beautiful feet to travel to tell others about Christ, or by car, or by plane. We can use the technology that we have now. Man, that becomes our feet to bring the good news to people. I know many people that have come to know the Lord over the internet through things like internet chat rooms and so on. It is the need to pass it on. That's why we need to do what we need to do. And that's why I do what I do. I mean, that's why I promote and I lead and I train and mobilize teams to go to Ghana, to go to the villages, to spread the gospel, to pass it on. I'm passing on the good news. But why us? Why do we need to pass it on? Why must we be the messengers? Well, not only because of the Great Commission, but because the gospel has truly transformed us. We should want to spread this good news. And when people receive news that transforms their lives, the natural tendency is to let others know. If it is truly something that changes our lives, we can't help but let others know. And the first people that we should want to share the gospel with are those that are close to us. I shared about this last night briefly. Mission within. These are the people that we care about. Why us? Why pass it on? Because God placed people in our lives because we understand them better. If these people matter in our lives and if we have regular interaction with them, we know what their goals are. We know what their fears are. We know what their challenges are. We have shared experiences together. And they also care about us. And even though they may not agree with everything that we believe in, most will at least hear us out. And God has placed these people in our lives for a reason. And we may be the messenger that leads them to the Lord, or we may be a part of that process that leads them to the Lord. And never give up on these people. I have known people who have tried to bring family members to the Lord. And for years and years, these family members have resisted. Some even insulted them for their faith. But through persistence and having the family members see their transformed lives, they came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Some made those commitments on their deathbeds. But in every one of those cases, the commitment was made partly because of the relationship with their loved ones. Why us? Because God put us in families. He placed those people close to us. We are the ones who are closest to them. We are their messengers. And God has also placed friends in our lives. And this same principle works for friends too. I'm going to share an example about Bill Hybels. Now, Bill Hybels, some of you know, is the senior pastor of the Willow Creek Community Church, one of the largest churches in the States, just outside of Chicago. And he shares how one of his close friends came to know the Lord. About 15 years into his ministries at Willow Creek, Hybels was facing some major pressures in ministry, and he just needed a break. So along with his family, that summer, he took some time off and rented a cottage by a lake. And one of his hobbies ever since he was a child was competitive sailing. And his goal was to do that for the summer. And after settling at this cottage, he built some relationships and was invited to join a sailing team. And with this group of people, he was just one of the guys. It was not church-focused, nor was it ministry-related. In fact, not one of the people on the team was a Christian. The leader of this sailing team was a guy by the name of Dave Wright. And when Dave actually found out that Bill was a pastor, man, he became somewhat concerned. Man, he didn't want to sail with a pastor. All the pastors that he knew, they were no fun. They just try to pound the gospel message in and to convert everyone. And Dave thought that the fun would now be just taken out of the sailing team. However, Bill didn't try to pound the gospel message in. He was just trying to be himself and relax by sailing. But by being himself, people could tell that there was something different. And Bill led another member of the team to a saving knowledge of Christ. Dave's wife also became a Christian. And as this was happening, Dave became more and more frustrated to the point where he had to pull Bill aside and told him not to mess around with the people's mind about all this God stuff. But this didn't deter Bill. Even though he did not speak to Dave that often about the gospel, he continued to pray for him. And their friendship grew. And as the years went by, Dave realized that Bill genuinely cared about him. And after Dave's father passed away, he finally started talking to Bill about spiritual things. However, he still wasn't ready to make that commitment. 7 years after they met, Bill and Dave had basically become the best of friends. And Bill could not imagine going to heaven without Dave. So basically, one day, he just told him that. He pulled him aside, said he could not bear the fact that he may not see Dave in eternity. And Dave, he still wouldn't make that commitment. But Bill continued to pray. A year later, at a Christmas Eve service, Dave finally made the commitment to follow the Lord as his personal Savior. And Bill was the first person he told. God had placed Dave and Bill's life, and over a process of 8 years, used a wonderful friendship to bring a person to him. Why us? Why do we need to be the messengers? Because we have friends, maybe even close friends, who do not know the Lord. And we may be part of the puzzle and the process that leads them to the Lord because we genuinely care about them and they about us. That's the first reason. Second reason we need to pass on is because we have the resources. If we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have important resources to pass on. It is something we definitely shouldn't want to keep to ourselves, for it can save someone's life. And we need to let our light shine. We need to let others know. A story is told a number of years ago. Actually, I don't know how true this story is, but it seems to fit this sermon illustration. But there was a train derailment in which a number of people died. Part of the track had been washed out, and as this train sped towards this particular stretch of track, there was no way to communicate with the train or to slow it down. And the railway company realized the imminent danger, and they sent a man with a lantern to wave down the train. Now, unfortunately, this did not work. The train sped by the man and with the lantern, and it derailed. A number of people lost their lives. Afterwards, there was an inquiry, and the man was asked if he thought the engineer on the train had seen him with the lantern. And the guy was not sure, so he was asked another question. Was the lantern lit? To which he responded, "Well, they didn't ask me to do that." If we have the resources and the tools, we are expected to use it. If we don't, there will be eternal consequences. Now, a while back, I had a lunch with a Sunday school teacher. He told me that for years and years, he'd been going to church, soaking in more and more information, more and more resources. He had all the head knowledge, but something seemed missing. And it wasn't until he was teaching Sunday school that he figured out why. For years and years, he'd been accumulating the resources, but he had not been passing it on. Everything had been kind of stuck inside until he started to teach, until he started to share his resources. He has now graduated with his Master's of Divinity and has just become a full-time pastor. I just had lunch with him probably about a week and a half ago. He wants to continue to share what he knows. Now, those who know me know I'm a geography buff. They know that I like reading maps. I'm the type of person, when I go into chapters, I don't go to the magazines. I go to maps. In fact, I read maps. I memorize maps. I even like looking at the maps that can be found in the Bibles. So, you know, the ones that you see at the back of the Bibles. And I want to share an example about the Sea of Galilee and also the Dead Sea. These are places that you can find in the back of the Bible in the maps. These lakes are similar because they are both landlocked lakes, which means they are inland from the sea and surrounded by land. But there's also a significant difference between them. The Sea of Galilee has both an inlet and an outlet for the Jordan River. Water flows in to the lake and then it flows out. The water is in constant motion, and as a result, the Sea of Galilee is live with fish. The Dead Sea, on the other hand,
only has an inlet. The water just kind of stops when it gets to the Dead Sea. None of its water ever finds its way out to the ocean, and the result is that the Dead Sea is lifeless. With such a high concentration of dissolved minerals, you float in it, is what I've been told. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. And in a similar way, a Christian who only has an inlet is going to be a dead Christian. No matter how much sound teaching we hear, no matter how much warm fellowship we receive, no matter how much personal care we receive, no matter how many Bible studies that we do, if it does not flow out to those around us, the people that we see every day, we will be like a reservoir without any taps to supply, or generators to turn, or rivers to feed. We may be increasing more and more in knowledge, and maybe even in fellowship, but we will become more and more stale. And we need to tell others about Jesus and what he has meant in our lives. And if with Jesus Christ in our lives, then we should want to share our contentment and our resources with them. Now, the next question I want to pose is this. What do we need to pass it on? Starting in verse 14, Paul answers this question. He asked the Romans a set of rhetorical questions, questions that they should know the answer to, questions that are still relevant in today's society and we should know the answer to. He asked, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? From this passage, firstly, to pass it on, we need to confess and believe. People will not believe unless they know that we are sure of our own faith. So we need to know that we are right in our relationship with the Lord. We need to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and Lord of our lives. We need to know the Bible. Now, many times as Christians, some of us here have been Christians probably all our lives, we say these things, but we don't even think about what it means. Some of us, as I said, have all these things ingrained in our heads, and that's good. But when we talk about them, it's almost like we're reciting something. It doesn't mean anything. And Webster defines believe as to receive in faith or trust. Another definition is to have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction. We need to believe wholeheartedly that to be saved, we have to call on the Lord. And secondly, we need to proclaim. Paul's next set of rhetorical questions are, how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? It is up to us to proclaim the word of God. And by proclaiming, we are solidifying what we believe in our own understanding. And we need to share it. We need to pass it on. So in proclaiming, we're also solidifying what we believe. And one of the main purposes of a Christian is to tell others about salvation that Jesus offers. And in many instances, though, this is not being done as well as it should. Oftentimes, we become egocentric and concentrate on ourselves, on our families, on our church. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things, but sometimes we get sidetracked and we don't work together to spread his word. We must focus our talents to make missions possible. We need to be missions-minded. And God chose to communicate the message of salvation through us, his people. And it is up to us to preach and proclaim the word of God. Now, many Christians, they think that it's the pastor's job, or it's a missionary's job, or that it's a spiritual gift. Well, yeah, as servants of God, we need to preach. But preaching is telling what others know, what we know. It's sharing what God has done in our lives. It is so much more than just standing up here and giving a sermon. I'm sure each one of us here can share what Christ has done in their lives. Our lives, the way we live, man, that should be the sermon. And the word proclaim means to call out, to make known, to declare openly or publicly. We must be excited to share the good news.
So I ask you again, are we guilty of keeping this good news to ourselves? We need to proclaim, to pass it on. Now, Paul's last rhetorical question is this, and I'll finish with this. How can they preach unless they are sent? Thirdly, we need to fulfill our task, and that task is to pass it on. We need to evangelize to our family, to our friends, to fellow students and co-workers, and I encourage all of us to do that. But it must not stop there. We need to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, as it says in Acts 1:8. Man, we are all here for a reason. And I believe that part of the reason is to teach and share with others what we have learned. And some of us will be called overseas. Some of us will be going on short-term missions even this year or next. Others will stay right here in Canada, maybe right here in Vancouver. But we need to send our goal. What is our vision? Is it congruent to God? And in the final part of verse 15, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, which we said earlier, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, feet bringing good news, it implies movement. It means that we got to get out of our seat and take one step after another to reach our destination. Feet means movement, and we can be part of God's plan in motion. And it could begin right here, right now, as we commit ourselves to God. Now, Romans 10, it is a wonderful passage. It's a challenge to all of us. It reminds us that unless we share the good news, people won't hear it. And unless people hear about Christ, they won't believe his death and resurrection. And unless they believe, they won't call on him. And unless they call on him, they won't be saved. And you know now, every time I see those fun words of wisdom that was posted on my wall that many years ago, it will bring a smile to my face. But now when I see it, it will also remind me of the words of wisdom found right here in Romans chapter 10. Words of wisdom which will have far more eternal significance. So once again, number one, it is to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Number two, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Number three, bring the good news to others. And that's what this message has been all about. That's what missions is all about. Bring the good news to others. Pass it on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these words of wisdom. Thank you for giving us this mandate to pass on the gospel message. Man, that is what missions is all about. To our family, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our schoolmates, to whoever you bring across our path. And Father God, let us have the courage to use our beautiful feet to get out of our seats and take that first step. And then the second step and the third step. To spread your message. Help us to do that, Lord. We love you very much. We pray all these things in the most mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Isaac, for those words. It's a challenge to us, all as Christians, being a people of the gospel and not proclaiming the gospel. They don't work together. So as Christians, this is our call. This is a call in our lives. I'm just going to end our time as we stand together and with this prayer. I'm going to read this prayer to you. If we stand together, please, let's pray together. Humbly in your sight, we come together, Lord. Grant us now the blessing of your presence here. These, our hearts, are yours. We give them to you, Lord. Purify our love to make it like your own. These, our eyes, are yours. We give them to you, Lord. May we always see your world as with your sight. These, our hands, are yours. We give them to you, Lord. Give them strength and skill to do our work for you. These, our feet, are yours. We give them to you, Lord. May we walk along the path of life with you. These, our tongues, are yours. We give them to you, Lord. May we speak your healing words of life and truth. These, our ears, are yours. We give them to you, Lord. Open them to hear your words of guidance, Lord. Our whole selves are yours. We give them to you, Lord. Take us now and keep us yours forevermore. May God be with you this week.